the PGA being contested as we speak. They've gotten the first round underway, and here to give some insight on the early returns and also what's going to happen the rest of the weekend at the PGA is one of the best when it comes to analyzing golf. He does so for the Golf Channel and also does a daily show on SiriusXM's Golf Channel as well, Fairways of Life. Our buddy, Mr. Matt Adams. How are you, M.A.?
Good, Jody Mac. How are you?
Good. Bunch on the course so far. First things first, give us your read on the overall course they're playing Belrive this week outside of St. Louis, specifically the course overall and how they are, if there's any differences, any changes, if they tried to do anything to make it PGA tough.
Well, they did it with the hole locations today. If you take a look at hole locations, a lot of them are barely tucked onto these very big greens. The golf course dates back to 1960. It was designed by Robert Trent Jones Sr. His son, Reese Jones, came in recently to do some little touch-ups here and there. It's a golf course that has a lot of holes that work from right to left, but as soft as it is, even those that fade the ball in can play well at the golf course. The key to this one is pretty much going to be hitting fairways. The greens they're big. There's a lot of quadrants. There's a lot of hole locations in them, so you got to hit them to the right spots, but they're not crazy. They're not undulated like you would see, say, at Augusta National by comparison. It's just a question of making sure you're getting yourself in the right position to have a good birdie putt coming up. But the key to playing well at the golf course is pretty much hitting fairways.
All right. You and I enjoy doing what we do, talking about golf when we do it. You do it all the time. I do it when the major tournaments come around. Part of what we need to do is, prior to them getting out there, give you a little bit of a preview and maybe some speculations on who's going to play well and or win. Specifically the British Open, Francisco Molinari hadn't done anything all year, and then he got hot the two tournaments right before the British, and he goes out and wins the British. Yeah. Well, we should have known that Justin Thomas was going to play well because he won last week, and now he's sitting there atop the leaderboard. No, it's early, but when did it become, you just got to look at who did something the week before and then put them on top of a major championship.
Yeah, but in fairness, though, I told you I picked Francesco Molinari. I got him at 33-1 when
nice.
I was at the Irish Open, and he had been playing well all year. Justin Thomas has a tendency to heat up at the end of the year. So it's not that shocking to see Justin Thomas playing well now, not only because he's defending PGA champion, but because this is the time of year that he tends to click in and tends to play well. So yeah, the fact that he's tied atop the leaderboard isn't particularly shocking to me. And, you know, I know you're going to get to Tiger Woods, but I thought I would give you an audience an update. He birdied the 10th hole, so he's now worked his way back to one over par.
Okay, that is good for Tiger. If it's as obvious as the way you stated that Thomas gets better as the year goes on and he clicks in at the end of the year, I would, if it were just me, I'd like to try and play real well at the beginning of the year, so I'm a major factor in the Masters, which is, again, early in the season. Just one of those things, not something he's trying to do. It's just you're tracking his past performances, and that's what you come up with?
No, it's not just that. He also can play well at the beginning of the year, too. Remember, he won 2 weeks in a row in Hawaii. It's just in the middle of the year, and what I would write it to is just fatigue, Jody Mack. He tends to kind of dip a little bit. He tends to not play quite as well in the middle of the season. And the season is becoming more and more compressed for these guys, meaning that there's more big events and a lot of events that you have to follow. So it's not just that he plays well at the end of the year. It's just that every year at the end of the year, he seems to be able to hold it together extremely well. So I can't tell you that I'm very surprised by what he's doing because this is what he does almost every year.
Understood. We're talking to Matt Adams of the Golf Channel and SiriusXM's Golf Channel here on The Fan. You talked about Tiger, got off to a slow start, plus three after two today, but has shaved that back down to just plus one. If you're watching it, you're watching it online. They've got some video streams, but the actual television coverage doesn't start till later on this afternoon. Just two bad holes. What were the first two, and what's he corrected to get back in the mix here?
Yeah, it was a bogey, double bogey start for Tiger Woods. He came back with a birdie after that, to his credit. And then, as I mentioned to you, he also had a birdie on the 10th as well to get himself to one over par where we stand right now for Tiger. The speculation, the concern for Tiger Woods right now is on a technical side. If you start to look at Tiger's swing speed, it's slowing down. And if you watch Tiger through the World Golf Championships Bridgestone Invitation, which was last week, that's a non-cut event. World Golf Championships have no cuts for those that are good enough to get in. And it was a high aspiration for Tiger to get in. He had to get to the top 50 in the world. He made the number on the number. And as the week progressed, it was almost to a point that people that watch these things keenly, it's almost like reading clouds, is Tiger, does it look like his back is getting a little tight? Does it look like he's hurting again? And while I never saw that, to tell you the truth, it did look like he was slowing down a little bit. It looked to me like a guy who's 42 years old and hasn't played a full season of golf in a while, that he was looking a little bit tired. And when he started out today, he looked kind of the same way, where this is a golf course, as I mentioned, you've got to hit the fairways. The rough here, Jody, is not about necessarily length as it is density. It is really thick and heavy. They've gotten there's a lot of water in the leaves of the grass. They've gotten a great deal of rain. And so if you don't put yourself in the right position, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. And so the question with Tiger Woods right now is, I get that it's a major championship. Off the tee has been where the challenge has been for him so far this year. This is a course that you have to have accuracy off the tee. And if that means he's got to dial back aggressiveness a little bit in a 42-year-old frame and hit perhaps a little longer shots coming in, he's playing alongside of Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, a couple of young guys that can bang it well out there with whatever they want. So for all those purposes, or all those reasons, and the purpose that lies before him to try to contend in this thing, I think it was he was trying to get out of the gate a little bit too fast, and it was a little bit of a hangover from the form that he had in the Bridgestone Invitational. The good news is that since that time, he is one under. So from that standpoint, if he can keep the form going that he's got right now, he could slowly work himself back into this thing.
Get himself back to even maybe before the day is out, and then take a shot again tomorrow. You and I talked Tiger going forward when I had you on for the British, and Tiger was in the mix right up until the end and lost to his playing partner, Molinari, who won, and kudos to him for that. I said rest of the year, certainly he's going to want to gear up for the PGA. We're there now. But then the Ryder Cup comes up in September, which he was a coach last time, captain, and with the way that he's played this year, back and playing in a factor – he could either make his way onto the team and or be a captain selection. If he plays okay this week, does or doesn't make the cut, but isn't a guy who's in the last couple pairings on Sunday, is it a major factor? Is he just going to shut it down until the Ryder Cup? Does he need to play some more? What happens with Tiger if he's okay this weekend but not a major factor?
A couple different things that are factors with Tiger in the Ryder Cup. You're correct that he already is a vice captain of Jim Furyk's team. He's already in that position. However, he's made it quite clear that he wants to be on the team. Tiger right now is 20th for the automatic qualifying spot. Automatic qualifying ends this week. This is the last event for automatic qualifying. So in order for Tiger to make that Ryder Cup team, he has to play extremely well in this PGA championship, where points are greater in a major championship than they are at any other time. Now, the speculation isn't around the industry on the inside is that Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson is currently 10th on the Ryder Cup points, that Phil and Tiger are going to get two of the four captain's picks from Jim Furyk. I believe it when it comes to Phil Mickelson. I spoke to Jim Furyk about Tiger Woods, and although he said to me it'd be great to have that experience in the locker room, he's going to have that experience in the locker room anyway because Tiger's already agreed to be a vice captain. So I'm not 100% convinced that Jim Furyk is 100% convinced that he's going to pick Tiger Woods as one of his captain's picks, because that's the way that he's most likely going to get on that team. I think Tiger has to not only play well at this PGA championship, and I'm talking about if he doesn't automatically qualify, and that to me would be somewhere around top five or better. That's how good he has to play this week if he's going to try to get on that team automatically. Then he's got to hope that the traffic in front of him doesn't pile up. But I think that he has to continue to play well until such time as the picks are made, which is after the BMW, the third event in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So His work is not done yet to get on the United States Ryder Cup team. It's going to be done for the top eight that automatically qualify in the next 4 days.
Fair enough. Our buddy Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Sirius XM Golf Channel, our guest here on The Fan. You got the three champions playing together. This is the coolest thing about the PGA for me. They take the Masters winner, the Open winner, and the U.S. Open winner and the British Open winner, and put them together for the first 2 days. They don't go out to sit till this afternoon, Reed and Koepka and Molinari. Out of those three, which one is sitting on the best tournament this week? Very rarely does someone win two in 1 year. Been a while since. If you had to pick one of those three, which one do you think is best suited for this course this weekend?
Koepka would be my pick on that one. Not because the other two aren't playing well or coming in with brimming with confidence with the major championships they already have to their credit in 2018. But Brooks Koepka is in the form of Dustin Johnson, and it's funny that they're both of those guys are really good friends. They're like meathead workout partners as well. Brooks Koepka just is not consumed by the moment. He's not consumed by what goes on around him. I think it's more about attention than it is nerves or fear. He's so powerful. This is a long, wet golf course. It's playing in excess of 7,300 yards to a par 70. And he could blast the ball out there, find it, and blast it onto these greens. So I like Brooks Koepka a lot in terms of how he handles himself in this setting. And I like Brooks Koepka a lot in terms of how he's armed with the arsenal that he can bring to the golf course, which is just about pure power.
All right, last thing. I know you and I have had this conversation before. The PGA itself, the tournament itself, yeah, it's the lesser light for me. I won't go quite as far as redheaded stepchild, but the Masters and the U.S. Open and the British Open are the three biggies, and then they kind of cap it off with the PGA. You and I have had this conversation before. You hold the PGA in higher esteem than I do. I'm not sure if it's because it's your livelihood and just kind of like a side entertainment passion for me, golf. Why do you think that the PGA is as big as it does, and certainly more than me?
I think that great champions are judged by how many majors they won. And if you look at the PGA Championship, Jack Nicklaus has talked about having won 18 majors. Five of those 18 majors came at the PGA Championship. And if you look at who's third on the list of all-time major championships won, it's actually Walter Hagen. And not many people know that. It's like a trivia question. Walter Hagen, by the time that the Augusta National Invitational started, later to become the Masters, he was already well beyond his prime playing years and on the decline. But he still won 11 major championships. Five of those were PGA championships back in the day when it used to be a match play event. So I think great champions are judged by how many majors that they have won. This is a major. Granted, it doesn't have the distinction of the Masters, which we wait eight long, agonizing months for it to come around. And when it comes around, we all feel like it's the end of winter and we're going to go out and play. The next one is, of course, the U.S. Open, which is the identity of the national championship. And then the Open, which is seen as the world's championship, or some people view it as the British Open. Either way that you define in either one of those, the definition is so concise that it represents its own individual identity. So the PGA Championship against those other three does look for its particular identity, but its identity is as a major. Now, next year it moves from August to May. This is a historic move. It's its 100th PGA Championship this year, which is history enough. It's also the history that it's the last one in August. It'll be in May next year. So all the four majors are going to start to be crunched together even more, going Masters, PGA Championship, U.S. Open, and Open to wrap it all up in that crunch. I'm curious. I do not know the answer to this now, but I'm curious if it will help give the PGA more identity, because it'll be in the middle of the run and not lingering at the end.
Yeah, I think it will. I think the move is actually good for the PGA. But, yeah, we got to see it unfold first, happen once, and then we'll react to it. When I need to react to what's going on in golf, I get Matt Adams. I punch him up. He's always good enough to say yes when I invite him on my shows. Thank you, sir. We'll be watching you on the Golf Channel this weekend. Enjoy.
Always a pleasure to see you, Jody Mac.
Matt Adams, Golf Channel, Sirius XM's Golf Channel as well. He's as good a golf analyst guy, radio guest guy, as I know.